begun. Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with June Whitfield, Wallace Eaton, and the Keynotes, all inviting you to...
Bentley, you've simply got to pay me that £5 you owe me. I need the money. I've got to meet a certain pressing commitment.
Oh, she'll wait.
No, it's not a she. I'll let you into a secret. It's a euphonium. I'm obliged to get a new one. The old one blew a gasket. Poor thing, it's just an orphan now.
An orphan euphonium?
Yes, all and no pa. Bentley, I must have that fiver.
Well, in that case, Jim, there's only one way for me to get that amount of money. But it can't be done alone. I need your help.
Well, because my hat's bigger than yours, you mean?
It's nothing to do with my singing activity.
Oh.
Now, there's a... Well, it's very windy in the streets now. There's a certain rich American over here who has somehow got it into his head that I... Me. I'm a member of the British upper set. Me, of all people.
Well, how'd he get that idea?
I told him. He now believes I'm the scorn of a noble family.
Well, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Jim, he was so impressed, he offered to pay 50 guineas to spend the evening with me so that he could boast about it afterwards.
Oh, they're a funny lot, aren't they? What do you want me for?
Well, as he's coming along tonight, and I must sort of live up to his notions of how the British aristocracy do things. So, while he's here, you pretend to be my manservant.
Me? Bentley, I've done some pretty nauseating things in my time. Including lines like all and no pa. That just went for a real Burton. But to be your manservant, I mean, that's not being a gentleman. That's being a yobbo's yobbo.
Jim, it's the only chance I've got to repay your money.
Oh.
This American got $7 million in oil wells.
That's a messy place to keep them, isn't it? But, all right, Bentley, anyway, I might as well... Wait a minute. Is this your oil crisis coming in now? The many splendid thing behind the cigar?
Well, hello there. Glad to see you again, Mr. Honorable Dick.
Mr. Van Rottenbeck. How nice. How nice to see you again.
Yeah.
Sorry it had to be here and not at the castle. We had the moat sent away to be dry cleaned. But I'm forgetting my manners. Manners?
I heard nothing. Oh. Young master?
Mr. Van Rottenbeck's hat.
I know. Have you seen it, my runaway? So big.
Leonard, take it,
oh,
Leonard.
Take it. Oh, yes. Excuse me, sir. May I have your hat? Thank you, sir. Coat? Thank you, sir. And would you care to divest yourself of 6 or 7 of the cameras?
Yeah, right. Scanavir, I'm glad to know you, Manners. I am J.L. Van Rottenbeck IV.
You mean there are 3 more like you?
Jim, the umpa. Manners, that will be all. Go to your pantry and draw me a bath.
Yes,
sir. You must forgive Manners. He's an old family heirloom.
Yeah, I think he's real quaint.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Would you like to see him do some tricks?
Huh?
Manners?
Yes, Honorable Dick.
Honorable.
I'll put my pencil away. Still drawing the bath.
Manners, we'll rub it out again, please. I shall be riding in the row tomorrow, Manners. Lay out my riding crop and jod hoppers.
Very good, sir. Very good, sir. Shall I lay out your horse?
Oh, it might come in handy.
Ah, gee, ain't that feudal?
Ain't it?
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Van Rottenbeck, you've seen what you came to see,
yeah.
How we of the nobility live. So if you'll just make out that 50-guinea check, I'll still have time to cash it round at Imey's barber shop.
Well, now, look, Mr. Honorable, I'll make a deal with you. I'll give you 100 guineas if I can borrow Manners here to look after me for the rest of my stay here.
100? How about it, Manners?
I should chuckle.
I should chuckle. That's a real bit of genuine old English.
Now, don't be hasty, Manners. I know you've been in our family since the year 50-50.
Yeah. Now, all I want you to do is to clean my shoes, comb my hair, scrub my back in the back.
What? Not on your transatlantic Nelly.
Just Just a minute, Bud. You know who you're talking to?
And do you know to whom you are talking to? Bentley is no more honorable than Sabrina is a boy soprano.
What?
Kid, tell him you're joking. Oh.
Say, what is it? Listen, if this guy Bentley ain't an honorable, just exactly what is he?
Exactly what Bentley is? Mr. Van Rottenbeck, stand by for another real bit of genuine old English. Bentley!
Hot lips! Sweet lips! She's only 20 and I'm 21. We never worry, we're just having fun.
Sometimes we quarrel and maybe we fight. But then we make up the following night.
When we're together, we're great company. I love my baby, my baby loves me.
My baby loves me. Don't know nobody.
What a pal!
As happy as we.
We give her kisses. Each one is a smack.
But you should hear 'em when I give 'em back. I bought a cookbook.
You're learning to bake.
I make 'em coffee.
It keeps us awake.
Let's get on with the show.
Thank you, Keynotes. Now for Type's topic of the week. Today, it's libel in broadcasting. We wonder how many people realize how difficult it is to do a radio program without unwittingly offending somebody. There's always some listener somewhere who gets the idea that the most innocently intended broadcast remark is a direct knock at him personally. He gets on the blower like a shot.
Well, our suggestion is to put these offended telephoners straight through to the BBC studio in question.
So, let's see what a radio play would sound like if this were done.
Oh, Geoffrey... You're being beastly.
I'm not being beastly. I'm facing facts. Alaric does not love you anymore.
Oh.
It's as plain as a pike staff. Hello.
My name is Albert Pikestaff.
Oh, dear.
I've been listening to your play, and I resent your insinuation that my family is blamed.
But, Mr. Pikestaff,
I've got four unmarried daughters, and it's hard enough getting shot of them without your reference to their looks. Tell the BBC there'll be a solicitor's letter in the post tomorrow. Good night.
Yes, Deirdre, it's as plain as as can be. Leave Alaric, my dear. Run away with me tonight.
Oh, we can't. You know Alaric. He'd be on our tracks before you can say Jack Robinson. Hello.
What's so perishing funny about the name Jack Robinson?
I'm sorry.
Listen. I may be only a common transport worker, but I know my rights. Listen, mate. Take it out the recording or there won't be a bus on the road tomorrow.
Oh, dear. As I was saying, Geoffrey, Alaric will be on our tracks before you can say Thaddeus Elderbottom.
All right, Mr. Elderbottom, we'll take it out. Oh, Deirdre, you have your own life to lead. After the way he's treated you, are you going to let him off scot-free?
Well, I...
Hello.
Is that Yon Sassenach?
Oh, yes.
Has it no about time the BBC nailed you foully about the Scots wanting everything free? I warn you, man, one more reference to the stinginess of the great Scottish nation, I'll stop going next door to listen to the wireless.
As I was saying, Deirdre, are you going to let him off scot generous?
I can't run away from Alaric, my dear. I made a bargain. I can't Welsh on it.
There is a shame you should be, woman. Letting the BBC cast a doubt on the integrity of these happy valleys. I live very nearly in Wales, and it's... It is noted your name has been, and if ever down our way you should come, I warn you, we'll keep a welcome.
As I told you, Geoffrey, I made a bargain, and I can't British on it. Oh, why is life such treachery? For two pins, I'd stick my head in the gas oven.
Public relations officer to the electricity board here. I just want to assure you that an electric oven will do the job in half the time. Good luck.
Last time I saw Paris, mad Paris, or as we of the international set laughingly call it, gay Paris. June, my dear, do you speak French?
Oui.
Would you mind going a bit slower? I'm a little rusty.
From your hotel, the view is swell.
But here's the rub, there is no tub. You'll wash with perfume and agree.
That's what makes Paris, Paris.
Each man is geared to sport a beard.
Who are those guys? They're ex-GIs. To look correct, wear a goatee.
That's what makes Paris, Paris.
The gay cafes.
The Eiffel Tower.
The mayonnaise.
The Eiffel Tower.
La Marseillaise.
The Eiffel Tower.
The awe-inspiring, but so tiring Eiffel Tower.
You cannot speak, your French is weak.
Just use your hands, she understands. And pretty soon it's more cherry.
That's what makes Paris, Paris.
Garçon regrets.
What?
No great cuvettes.
Oh.
The lady pale.
Ooh.
He's serving snail.
They'll both get heartburn, wait and see.
That's what makes Paris, Paris.
You try to grab a taxi cab. The light is red, peek overhead.
And knocks you down quite cheerfully.
That's what makes Paris, Paris.
The horse-drawn carts.
The Eiffel Tower.
The butcher's marks.
The Eiffel Tower.
The search for art.
The Eiffel Tower.
The Eiffel, 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 Eiffel Tower.
You're half alive. You're 85.
There's no too sure to your l'amour.
Then all at once you're 23.
Oh, la la.
That's why we call C'est la vie. That's what makes Paris, Paris. And Paris is home to me.
Time, time, gentlemen, please. Drink up now, gents. Come on, Mr. Glum. Now, we ain't seen you in here past couple of nights, Mr. Glamour.
No, Ted, I couldn't make it. We've had illness in the house.
Oh, dear. The old trouble.
No, not her. No, no. My son, Ron. You know him. Of course you know Ron. He was in here with me the other day.
Oh, was that your boy? Oh, I'm blowed. Shot up, isn't he?
No, just cut himself shaving. Well, he's always been a bit of a delicate lad, you know. Even as a child, we had dreadful trouble just getting him to eat.
No.
Do you know, the only way we could get to take anything solid was to shove a frozen cod fillet on a stick and kid him on it was an ice lolly.
Oh, I'm blow that.
Yes, for years afterwards, he wouldn't touch ice cream unless it tasted of fish. He this trouble he had last week, I mean, this was something quite different and quite new. It all started when he and F were sitting in our front parlour. She was telling him about some variety act what she'd seen on the telly.
I've ever seen. It just didn't look possible. Well, what he did was, well, he stretched his leg forward and he took a plain teacup. Know what I mean, Ron?
No, eh?
Just an ordinary teacup, Ron, like you'd pour your tea into your saucer from.
Oh, I know what you're getting at, eh? A teacup.
Yes, that's it, Ron.
That's
well,
it, yes.
He balanced this teacup on his foot, and then suddenly he kicked upwards. The cup flew into the air, and Ron, he caught it on top of his head. He caught it and balanced it, Ron.
Bless you, Ed.
No, Ron, that was the noise the drummer made. Oh, it was fascinating, Ron. Oh, and he was so handsome with it.
With what, eh?
Well, with being able to kick a teacup from his foot onto his head, Ron. Oh, I quite fell for him, Ron.
I see.
Oh, don't say it like that, beloved. It's just, well, I always admire a man who's, well, deaf.
And what makes you think I'm not, eh?
I didn't say you weren't, Ron.
I've heard Dad tell people that I'm deft enough for anything.
Well, there's no call for you to get onto your dignity, beloved. Some people can kick teacups onto their heads and some can't. It's just nature's way.
And how do you know I'm not in nature's way?
Ron, what are you doing with the crockery?
He put the teacup on his foot like this, eh?
Oh, Ron, don't try. Please, you'll strain something.
Now, then he kicked upwards. Right, one, two, go. Is it on my head, Ed?
No, Ron.
Where is it?
It went through the window into the garden. Oh, and you might have done it with an empty cup. You soaked me.
I'll get it onto my cap this time, eh? I'll use Dad's teacup, the big one.
Oh, no, no, Mom. Oh, please, for my sake, don't try, beloved. That cup's heavy.
I'm going to, eh?
Very well. On your own head be it.
One, two, go.
I was standing in the garden and I got a nasty blow on the ear hole from a teacup. Yes, them spectacles, them new spectacles of Mrs. Glum's must have improved her range finding considerable.
Mr. Glum, look at Ron.
Oh, my poor baby boy. Lying there, his face the colour of a sheet. Grey, look at it.
From the cupboard.
Now, just a minute, Eff. That brandy is purely for medicinal purposes.
This is medicinal purposes.
Eff, please, let's not get involved in an intellectual argument while my boy is lying there. Ron, boy. Ron. Come on, Ron. It's your dad. You're all right, Ron. Come on, there's nothing wrong with you.
Try forcing his head between his knees.
Righto, Eff.
Oh, no, not that way, Mr. Clump.
Oh, forward. Just leave it to me. Come on, Ron, you'll be all right.
Oh, he's stirring.
He's coming round. Now, give me that water off there, Ed.
But, Mr. Clump...
Get it, Ed, and give it here. Now then, boy, sip this. Sip it gently. Mm. Sip it, lad. Gently, gently, gently. You gulp like that, you'll swallow the goldfish.
Oh, my head. Where am I? Oh.
Well, you're all right, beloved. You've had a bit of a knock on the head.
Who are you? And who's that fat man who smells of beer?
Now, why don't you come in and clever cuss at me?
Mr. Glum, he doesn't remember us.
Hey?
Ron, beloved, that's your dad. And you know who I am?
My mum?
Ron, Ron, beloved, you're still dazed. Shake your head.
My head?
Oh, dear, 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 you remember what that is, don't you? It's what separates your cap from your collar. Give it a shake. Here, let me do it. That'll cure him.
Oh, Mr. Glum, be careful.
Well, it always works when the television goes wrong. How do you feel now, Ron?
My mind is just a blank.
There you are. If I knew it would work.
Ron, beloved, look at me. Now, concentrate. What is your name?
I can't remember.
You can't Mr. Glum, that blow on the head. You see what's happened?
Yes, sir. I'm afraid we'll have to face up to it. This boy is suffering from magnesia.
Terrible thing, eh? Loss of memory, eh? One hears of these things, but only by hearsay. I suppose you kept a vigil by his bedside all the night?
Oh, yes, and a nightlight, yes. Next morning, we tried all we could to get him to remember who he was. The first thing I made him do was to read through a copy of Who's Who.
Eh?
Well, so at least he'd be sure of who he wasn't, you see.
That's true.
Then we sat by his bed and we tried to tickle up his memories, you might say, by reminding him of things. Photos and such like similar.
Just look round the walls of your bedroom, beloved. Well, don't any of the things there remind you who you are?
No, miss.
Miss? Oh, to think I'd lived here, my Ron called me miss. Mr. Glum. He's forgotten everything.
Well, not quite everything, eh? At least he didn't call you mister. Ronnie, boy. Ronnie, I'm talking to you now. Look round the room. All them treasures and trophies, they're all yours, you see? They all have the inscription, Property of Ron Glum.
Who's he?
It's you. I've been telling you all night. You're Ron Glum. You are Ron Glum.
Oh, yeah. I'll forget my own name next.
Oh, Ron, have a look at all these little treasures, beloved.
Yeah.
Think about them. One of them might just do the trick.
Now, then, that framed certificate up there, son.
Yes.
You can't have forgotten how proud you was of that. Given to Ron Glum by the Labour Exchange as a reward for regular attendance.
The Labour Exchange.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, it just don't seem possible, do it? Them long, carefree hours leaning up against the A to G wall. All just gone.
How about your collection of cornflake packet faces, Ron? Oh, look, all this. The torch that goes three different colours if it had a bulb in it. Oh, Ron, look. This is something you've had since your 12th birthday. Your conductor set.
Conductor set. Conductor set.
Does it ring a bell, Ron?
Just a minute. Yes. When you pull the plinger.
Oh. I'll pull his plinger in a minute.
Oh, Mr. Glum, we're just not making any progress at all.
We are not.
No, I think we should call in expert advice. Somebody who specialises in this sort of thing.
Oh, you mean Leslie Welch?
A proper qualified psychiatrist.
Oh, I don't know. They come pretty pricey, you know. I mean, the last one I visited, he charged half a crown a toe.
That is a chiropodist.
Oh, what did you say then?
Well, I said a psychiatrist. motorist, I think we should ring one right away.
No, don't be too hasty, Ethel. I mean, before we spend money, we should have a last go. Now, Ron, look at me here, boy. Now then, think hard. Ron Glum, who are you?
Earl Mountbatten.
You winner. Give me that phone book. Come here into the front room, Sir Otto. Now, what can you tell him? What can you tell us about?
Well, Mr. Glum, there is nothing organically wrong. Oh. I examined your son's head most carefully. There is definitely nothing there. If I may have my check...
Oh, hang on. How about getting his memory back?
Oh, in this type of amnesia, that is merely a matter of time. I can do nothing.
What? You charge me 15 guineas and then tell me you ain't going to do nothing?
What do you expect me to do?
Well, anything. Paint his throat. Pull his tonsils out. Put his arm in plaster. Lummy, we're entitled to some value for money.
But my good sir...
Now, don't you my good sir me. I've a jolly good mind to report your conduct to the BTM.
Mr. Glum, please. Can't you think of anything, Sir Otto?
Well, there's one slight possible chance. Oh. If the patient can experience a similar blow to the one what has caused the damage, it might.
We'll try that. Eth, get me a hammer.
No, it must be the same circumstances. The cup on the foot, the careful balance, the upward kick, and... How did I do that?
Oh, no, Sir Otto. The noise came from upstairs.
Dad,
it's wrong.
I did it.
Ronnie boy.
I got it on my head, but it fell off when I came downstairs.
Ron, you recognize us.
Of course I recognize you. You're my dad.
Yes.
My dad. You're the one who creeps into my bedroom late at night, kisses me on the forehead, then falls down on the floor blind drunk.
Oh, heaven be praised, he knows me. And you know who this girl is?
That's not a girl, that's Ed.
Oh, he's normal again. How did it happen, Ron? What did you do?
Yes.
I didn't do anything. I got out of bed to get my health salts. And when I got the cup, I put it on my foot while I measured the salts onto a sixpence. Then I trod on the soap. And the cup flew up and hit me on the head. It was all quite normal.
It's most interesting. Well, Mr. Glum, the patient is cured. Now I must go along and see how old Lady Potter is.
Don't you know how old she is?
Mr. Glum, I'm waiting for my check. 15 guineas, please.
15 guineas, eh? Oh, dear.
Mr. Glum, don't try and edge through the door. My advice did prove correct.
Yes, it was correct, wasn't it, eh? He did get cured by another knock on the head, didn't he? Funny, really, what you can do by just putting a cup on your foot like this and balancing it and then kicking it up in the air so.
Mr. Glum, quick, Ron, help me with
that. My head.
Your head? The cup hardly touched you.
Shut up, Ron. The pain.
There's not even a mark. Now, could I have my check, please?
Your check?
A check to Sir Otto Parbleiter.
Who's he, madam?
Now, just a minute, Mr.
Who's
Mr.
Glum?
I'm not having that.
My mind's a blank. I don't know nothing.
Harry Rabinowitz and the BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley, Professor Jimmy Edwards, and June Whitfield, encouraged by Wallace Eaton and the Keynotes. Adrian Waller was the announcer, Frank Muir and Dennis Norton wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in again next week and...